in those rooms been challenged over and over. What is my purpose?
Yeah.
Like, what am I here to do in this life? And as I've sat and thought about it and written it down and like night over night in my journal, like, what is my purpose? It really comes down to like one thing.
Real business.
Whatever your situation is currently is not your forever situation.
That's really what real business owners is, man. Like, we don't care where you come from. Yeah. Where are you going?
Our goal and our job is to reduce the mistakes that you have to make or the money that you have to lose.
We created a text hotline just to add value to you guys as listeners. 435-515-3577. If you guys have questions, anything to do with your taxes, shoot us a text.
You want to be an entrepreneur, you want to be successful, don't give up.
You learn, adjust, and continue to move forward.
Welcome back to the Real Business Owners Podcast with myself, Trevor Cowley. As always, Kilo G.
What's up?
We got an OG, triple OG homie on today's show. Eric Gubler's joining us. You know, this is one of those individuals that you can just kind of look at, just a young hustler stud making his way in the world. And you just kind of from the outside, you can look and say, this dude's going to do amazing things with his life. Yeah. And so this is why we like to have you in our network and surround ourselves with individuals like you, because you're the type of individual that in 10 years, we already know you're going to be doing massive, massive, big, big, impactful things. And so it's kind of, it's not stingy of us to want to surround ourselves with them. Yeah. What is it when it's about yourself?
Self-interest.
Yeah. We're being a little selfish, I guess, in wanting to surround ourselves with you. Because we believe in you that much, and we believe that you're going to do great things. And both of us have turned to each other, and we've said that to each other, like legitimately behind the scenes. So it's not just a podcast fluff, bro. Just know that that's actually true and real thoughts and sentiments that we have about you. Mm-hmm. He invited us to come speak at kind of one of his get-together masterminds about a week ago.
Which you crushed, by the way. I mean, that was awesome. Dude, every single person you crushed, that went there.
Bro. Yeah. Like, we walk in this little, like, no, not little, but decent-sized conference room where we're like, there'll be 30, 40 people in here. There's people lined up all down around the hallways, dude.
I think there was 90 people there.
Was there 90?
Yeah.
Wow. And it went well, dude. Yeah. And like when I was talking about in there, like people want to avoid recessions, right? I was talking about you. I'm like, guys, like, put together events, bring people together. Like, we are our own economy, man. Yeah. And like, that's what you're doing. Like, you're like this, how old are you?
31.
You're 31?
Yeah.
Dude, well, you only look 26.
He's still young compared to us, but I would have guessed like 27, 28 with the baby face.
Yeah. So, but dude, you're doing awesome shit, dude. I knew he was doing awesome shit already anyway. Yeah. But when I met him at Justin's, he's like owns storage units and he's just got a vibrant personality. I was like, it's a fucking stud, right?
Yeah. Why don't you tell a little bit about yourself in terms of, you know, what you do, you know, what your goals are over the next, you know, 3 to 5 to 10 years? Because obviously, you know, prior to jumping on, we talked about he has goals of really inspiring people, you know, and utilizing his life as more of an example life to shine light on others, right? And so I'll let you kind of elaborate a little bit.
Yeah, that's definitely what I enjoy. I mean, you know, growing up, I grew up here in St. George, and actually grew up homeschooled, which I thought was interesting. It's kind of a unique part about me, I feel like.
What part did you grow up in? Like Washington or Santa Clara?
Yep.
We would have beefed, bro. I'm a Washington knight, dude. Oh, yeah. You and Kel would have been
but I was homeschooled,
so
you would have never known me. I mean, I was just hit under a rock the whole time. So, but I feel like that was a unique part of my upbringing. My mom was very like, you know, like, you can do this on your own type of mentality.
Did you like that?
There was pros and cons, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, what were some of the pros and what were some of the cons? Because I'm going to tell you right now, there's a lot of people in the world that's getting frustrated with the school system that's thinking about homeschooling right now. And so I think you could shine light on that topic,
I've done both, right? Like when I got older, you know, in high school, like I started kind of getting into more of the public school scene than college, obviously. Which is different than growing up in that system, but seeing both sides on the homeschool side, I feel like the challenge is that it's really stressful on the mom and it's really stressful on the parents. And like, how are you going to structure that? And on the kids, are you going to turn out okay? Right? Like, are you going to turn out to where you're like socially awkward? But on the positive side for me, that pushed me even more to be more social, right? Like to get out and to learn. Like I remember reading How to Win Friends and Influence People when I was 12 years old because I was like, I don't want to be a freaking weirdo. Like I want more friends. I want to be able to connect with people. And how do I do that?
Yeah.
So at 12 years old, my mom gave me How to Win Friends and Influence People. I just ate it up.
Sounds like homeschool was good. As long as you're giving them good books like that at 12, it took me, I think, 36 years to pick that one up.
That's what I've been telling my wife lately because we've considered some stuff and we're like, I don't want to take that job on of homeschooling my kids, right? Like, that's really the thing. But honestly, what a big benefit, right? Like, even though it is stressful on your parents, like you talked about, like, how cool would it be for you to stay fresh? Like, dude, my 16-year-old brought home his math homework. I'm like, I don't even know what I'm looking at here, dude. So I went and hired him a math tutor, you know? And I'm like, but dude, how cool would it be if you're constantly teaching your kids? Like, you're going to stay fresh too, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
You don't use it, you lose it, bro. Like, I forgot everything from high school.
Well, I wasn't there, so I didn't know if I ever got it in high school, so.
That would be the shit I would teach my kids, though, right?
Yeah.
That's where we've seen the biggest benefit is, like, teaching them the stuff that...
How to elevate them in the world. People, stuff like that. Yeah,
I feel like there's definitely like this balance of like when they're younger, you can teach them, right? But there comes this like bell curve when you reach the top where it's like, all right, like their education's going down now because you don't know enough to be able to get them to the next level.
Yeah.
And that I think the best way to go, which my parents did, is private, right? Or like tutors. Like that to me is the best. It's one on one.
Yeah.
Right. That's where I learned the most.
What age was that when you did that? Like,
we were 14, like
15, what?
Right in there, 14, 15. Yep. Yeah. And then you just kind of outsource it a little bit more because parents are tapped out on their education to do everything plus time. I mean, my mom's homeschooling six your kids.
Do you plan on doing it?
I think I like the private school route. And my more like tutor, private school. I mean now
when you got deep pockets like you,
what's that?
I said, when you got deep pockets like you, it's natural to go to private school.
Well, it's the best education. Like, why else do we make money, right?
Yeah.
For our families and our kids and their education. Like,
giving them the highest of experiences, right?
I mean, it's just going to compound too. Like, it's one of the best investments you could ever make.
Yeah.
Yeah. No doubt.
Right. So, anyway, that was kind of my upbringing is that. So, I do feel like it made me think a little bit different than a lot of my peers at that age, right?
No doubt.
And then I felt like actually an LDS mission was really good for me. It really, really was. It kind of took me out of the nest that I'd been in my whole life. I mean, think about it. Like, I almost, felt like I was somebody that was in Colorado City under Warren Jeffs almost. Just like in this like incubator my whole life.
Yeah.
And I didn't, like the outside world I kind of knew through sports and things. Yeah. I was like highly involved in baseball and wrestling and football and just tried everything, karate, gymnastics, like everything when I was a kid. So my parents were really good at like getting us out in those
different things.
Yeah. Yeah,
that there's plenty of social stuff to go on there. If you're worried about
which helped
social
a ton.
Yeah, no doubt.
And, but then, you know, just going out and living on my own for the first time at 19 years old, I was like in Florida, that's where I went. It's like a totally different world, right?
Yeah.
And so that was really good for me to go knock doors and get to meet people. I came back, I did summer sales, learned how to sell and kind of take the tools that I learned just kind of like going through the mission side of things, but you don't really learn the sales side and then kind of hone in your skills a little bit more with sales. And I was like, I like this. Like, I like selling doesn't need to be like so hardcore close. It's just like relationship based and like a trust thing. Like, if they trust you, it's like they want to buy from you, right? People love to buy, they hate to feel sold, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you just learn those little things that, and then once you feel that inside that like I can sell, you know, you can do anything.
Yeah.
So
it gives you a level of confidence, no doubt.
For sure.
It also gives you independence.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
that's true.
That's like, that's what I loved about it is like, I don't like being dependent on a paycheck for just trading my time. Like, I wanted to go out and like
have no ceiling.
Dude, I've got to put some deals up to get paid, you know?
Yeah.
And it teaches you like some independence. So I think people gravitate to
how that. Long did you do door-to-door sales for?
So I actually only did one summer and I was the top guy in my group.
Yeah.
And they're like, dude, we want you to recruit. We want you to be a manager. We want you to come up this ladder.
What were you selling?
Pest control. So it was Altera at the time. Yeah. This was back in 2012.
Okay.
So in 2012, 10 years ago, I was like, I was really like at this crossroads, like, okay, I could keep going down this path. But I saw people that were 5, 6, 7 years into it, and they were just spinning their wheels every summer. Like, they're going out. I'm like, I don't know if I want to do that. Like, yeah, you can make some good money, but what happens when I get married and I start having kids? And, like, do I really? And then if I leave the company and go do something else, but I've, like, built this team up, the second I leave, it's all gone.
Yeah.
Like, it's not mine. So
it's a way to hold you hostage a little bit.
A little bit, right? Yeah. So I think for some people, though, I have tons of friends that are crushing it. They love it. They've risen up in the ranks and they're doing really well. And so I'm not trying to knock it. It just, for me, I was like, I want to be here. I love St. George. I want to find a way to sell here. Mm-hmm. So it took me a couple of years, but then I found real estate. And some guy approached me through pickleball because I used to play like at the top level of pickleball, 5-0. Yeah,
and like, he was like a champ. But you were like,
I used to be pretty good, but not anymore.
I remember us talking about it. You like won the championship or some shit.
Like, Utah State Championship. And like,
that's it?
At the highest level.
Wasn't it like some like, I don't know, national shit?
No.
But you were a state champ?
Yeah, the Utah State Championship.
Dude, I don't know that time. What, 10 years ago, wasn't that, what is there, like 8 people in the tournament? You know what I mean? Obviously,
and grandpas.
Yeah, exactly. Well, no, for real. Like now it's like one of the fastest growing sports that exists, right? And it's getting big and there's creating leagues. But back in the day, it didn't exist like in people's minds, right? Like how the hell did you practice pickleball? Was there one pickleball court in town that you would like secretly go to?
No.
Because I swear they didn't even exist. I guess I just wasn't looking for them, but now you can't miss them because they're everywhere. Right.
It's crazy how fast time flies.
Like, I know.
Dude, there was pickleball courts 10 years ago.
Was there?
Yeah.
Because I lived
out in Little Valley, they put those Little Valley ones in, and that was back in 2011, and those weren't even the first ones.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they had Vernon Worthen, had a couple other ones,
Okay. Well, congratulations on that big W, dude.
I bet it was pretty competitive, huh?
It was, but I mean, it's definitely better now. Like, you got pro tennis people coming over. And
It's a whole different level.
That's probably why I got out. I was like, I'm out. This 6'7 guy, I'm 5'10.
It's almost like the UFC. Maybe back in the day it was easier. Now it's just so competitive that you have to be
there's money
in it
now. You
have to be like raised. You know, like, what's his name from, like, Russia or whatever that wrestled bears when he was, like, 6?
Both of them. Khabib and Islam.
Yeah. Like, if you're not wrestling bears by the time you're 5 years old, you're not making it into the bigs. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So you should do what you got
to
do.
Yeah, but starting to get more that way for sure. But it was a great networking thing for me.
Oh, cool.
Because you're kind of, at that time, I was kind of at the top in St. George and kind of in Utah. I was like one of the better ones. And
it was this prestige. So there was
just, everybody wanted to get better at pickleball. They're addicted to it, like especially these older people.
It is a fun game.
So there's an older guy that was a real estate agent that came to me, and he's like, dude, you should get into real estate. And I was like, it kind of hit me like, you know, I should.
He's like, you got the look, dude.
Yeah.
He does.
Well, I'd done summer sales. He knew that. He knew that I had a decent head on my shoulders, and I was like ambitious and trying to like make something of myself. And he's like, you should just real estate, you make some good money. He's like, I make $300,000 a year. And at that time I was like, oh, if I could make $100,000 a year,
I'm going to be freaking rich. Legit, right? You're already thinking about the boats and the this and the that on $100,000. Like,
I'm thinking my life is going to be totally. I'm like,
I can do that. Yeah.
I'll grind for 10 years if I can make
$300,000. Yeah.
And that's how it felt at the time. And so, I went, got my real estate license, started a moving company at the same time. And the moving company was kind of strategic. So you kind of mentioned that the storage units. Me and my wife sat down and set like a 5-year plan. We're like, look, why we did it all at the same time and had a baby and got married and did all these things all at the same time. I don't know. It was stressful, but we did it. So
you enjoy chaos.
Yeah, probably. So we got, we said, hey, we're going to start a moving company because that's something we can do right now and make decent amount for my time. And I can kind of leverage some other guys too and still make money on them when we're out moving. And I'm going to meet people that are moving. Maybe I'll get a few real estate deals. Maybe I'll sell a few homes because it's kind of related.
So you bought a truck and just.
So first we just rented them. I mean, we just rented like U-Hauls.
Oh, wow.
So we were literally every single job, we were cash flow positive. Yeah. Like we didn't have a loan on anything. We had no business debt. We
the
had
only
nothing.
Overhead you had is when you had a job at that point. Because then you would hit them up and say, hey, I need a U-Haul.
Yes.
That's smart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, I remember at first we didn't have an LLC. We had no insurance. We just were like, let's make the money so that we can put money into this stuff and get a logo. But as soon as I had the money, I did.
Yeah.
So I was never in debt. I was never like out my own. I think at the very first I invested $1,200 and it was to get a logo of my own money. And other than that, it was like, just get a job, put it back in the business, get a job, get the money, put it into the business and let it grow. And now I don't do anything. Like I just let it run. I have a manager. In fact, they're coming back from New York right now with a with a load.
That's
badass. So it just runs. He's a great manager. That still helps my real estate today because it's list or buy a home with me and I'll move you locally for free. Mm. So it's like, hey, it's so I hate smart. Moving.
Yeah.
So why not just get it for free? It's going to cost me $1,000.
Yeah.
I'll just do it for free, right? And so I do it for cost. It's cheaper for me.
Yeah.
So we had that. That was part of our plan.
Do you own your trucks now?
Yeah, we do. We have two trucks now. Yeah. They just go local. I'm not trying to go like crazy van line or anything.
Yeah. I think it's brilliant. You know,
me too.
And a lot of people, they wait to start something because they think they got to buy the truck, or they get in. They don't get into real estate investing because they think they got to buy the house. But like nowadays, people are buying houses. Or they're not buying the house. They're just going to someone listing their house for rent and being like, hey, man, you want $1,500 a month. How about I give you $2,500? Like, what's the catch? Well, I'm going to short-term rental it, but I've got the financials to back it up. If you don't, you'll never miss a payment, right? Yep. And then they're getting into real estate, making money off Airbnbs. They don't even own the property, right? Yep. It's just like you doing that with trucks, man. I'll just rent U-Hauls and move people.
It's easier to get going.
Just get creative, yeah.
Well, it's easier to find all the roadblocks than it is that one avenue that you can make it work, because there's a million different reasons in somebody's head why they can't start a moving company.
Yeah.
All you need is one good reason to, and then you'll find the path that you need to go down. Like when you're just stubborn, and you're just sure that this thing is going to happen, you'll figure out a way to make it happen. Just like you did, whether you have a dollar or $1,200 or whatever it is, you don't have to be rich to get started, but you have to get started to end up being rich. Right.
Right. Version one is better than version none, right?
Yeah,
Do version one.
Yep.
Because if you never do anything, there's no version two, three, four. Right.
Yeah.
So that's exactly, I mean, at the beginning, man, we were terrible. Like we break stuff all the time, and now we're pretty freaking good. Yeah. Like they're pretty freaking good. But we would break stuff, and I would stress, and I'd come home, but working 13-hour days, moving stuff for 13 hours, freaking exhausting. Yeah. It was tough. It was really tough.
Is that where the biceps came from?
No.
Originally?
No. That's all gym. Like moving just makes you tired. It doesn't make you strong.
Yeah.
Dude, you know what I've noticed about you, though, that I really love, and I love this about a lot of people. I love this about Justin Prince. Like, dude, you're building a badass team around you. And I always wonder, like, what is the reason that you're building a team? Because you could go move houses, crush real estate, not have to worry. Because there's a lot of stress that comes along with building a team. Yeah. You start feeling responsible for those people and their livelihoods and their families. And, you know, so like what motivated you to be a leader and start building a team around you?
I think it was a process. You know, I think through the years it really was. And I've become more and more clear on it over time. Mm-hmm. But I've really just being in rooms, bigger rooms. When I say bigger, like, just higher level thinking, you know, entrepreneurs that are really trying to push.
So in other words, just being around bigger thinkers, like higher level,
closer proximity
level
to bigger thinkers.
Type people, right?
When you're in those, it's impossible to not try to get more intentional with your life and to really dial in and kind of reverse engineer where you want to go.
Yeah.
And I just through the years, probably just the last couple years, I just in those rooms been challenged over and over. What is my purpose?
Yeah.
Like, what am I here to do in this life? And as I've sat and thought about it and written it down and like night over night in my journal, like what is my purpose? It really comes down to like one thing, and it's build better men, build better women around me.
That's it right there.
That's it.
Yeah.
Like whatever I do, all I want to do is influence men to be better men and influence women to be better women.
And how do you do that?
And it's just kicking your butt every day to get out of bed and do the consistent things. Like we're talking about, just freaking do the things consistently every day that nobody else is willing to do. That's inspiring enough.
Legitimately this morning, as I was reading, I had a thought because, you know, a lot of people, you know, social media, whatever, they talk about, you know, purpose, find your purpose, 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 purpose. Like, and I was sitting there thinking, I'm like, how the hell is anybody going to find their purpose if they're operating at half mass, right? Like if you're only operating at 50% of your potential, how do you expect the 50% version of you to find your purpose? The idea really is to put yourself in situations where you're first becoming the best version of yourself, and the best version of yourself will understand what your purpose is. But most people are sitting on their ass, right? Wondering what their purpose is. They're not doing anything with their life, and they want to wait till they find their purpose in order to do something with their life. But you'll never know what your purpose is unless you're operating at your full potential today. At that point, and only at that point, your purpose will reveal itself.
Absolutely.
I've just noticed too, like, all the people we have on our show that are just great at building teams and they're just really great leaders. It's not like they're, it's never somebody that's like, man, I just realized I need to have a lot of people around working for me to make me a shit ton of money. It's always like, man, I really want to inspire. I want to build people up. I want to make a difference. You know, I want to be a difference maker. Yeah. And so like, that's what I was looking for. And like, what motivated you? And you're like, dude, I just want to build better men. I want to build better families. Right. So I think that's it, man. Like, you know,
but when you do that and you do a good job of it, you're filling up not only your bank account, but you're also filling up your soul. Right. Sure. There's a lot of people that just focus on filling up their bank account and they're soulless. They go home, they feel empty. There's nothing there. And they wonder, what the hell? Maybe I need to make another $1 million and then I'll be happy. Maybe then another, or maybe it's 5 million, maybe it's 10 million a year, whatever it is. Right. They're trying to fill up their soul with money and it's just absolutely impossible to do. Now, if what you do for a living only makes you money, cool. Find something else on the side, something charitable, whatever it is that fills up your soul. In some cases, the exact same thing that you do to make money might not fill up your soul. And it's your job to find something that fills up your soul and makes you whole over here. And that also over here fills up your bank account. In some cases, it's the exact same thing as it building teams, developing people that can fill up the bank account and your soul. But in some cases, some people are in positions where they don't have that opportunity right now. And what they do for a living only fills up their bank account. Then it's up to that individual, if they feel soulless or empty at the end of the day, to figure out a way to serve other people so that they could fill up their soul. So I think we sometimes, there was a young kid that came to me and said, man, what I'm doing for a living, it just doesn't like fill my soul. I just don't feel fulfillment. And I'm like, just so that you understand, the thing that you make money from doesn't also have to be the thing that fills up your soul. You don't have to leave. Yeah. Like, everybody's trying to do both of those in one. In reality, the majority of people will not have that opportunity because they're not going to put themselves out there far enough in order to get that opportunity, right? And so do something that serves other people. That's the soul portion. And then do whatever you got to do to fill up your bank account for your loved ones, your family, yourself, right?
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love that. I tell my team all the time, because I have the moving team and I'll get to the real estate team here soon, but you got to build a businessman. It's more of a rhyme, so I'm not excluding women, because I absolutely think that they, you know, that's my purpose too. But you got to build the businessman before you build the business plan.
Yeah.
Like, you have to.
Yeah.
Because if you don't build the businessman, eventually you're going to be left with, maybe you make money, maybe you hit the home run, right? And you make all this money, but you didn't build yourself. Mm. You're going to lose it.
Yeah.
You're going to tank.
Yeah.
You're going to be an idiot. You're going to spend it somewhere you don't need. You're not going to know what to do with it. It's going to wreck your marriage. It's going to wreck your life. It's going to just screw you up. You have to build the businessman before you build the business plan.
Yeah.
And so I tell my team that all the time. Hey, every real estate agent out there, they're one-dimensional. How do I get leads? How do I convert them? How do I get more? It's all transactional. Yeah. How do I build my CRM? Yeah. How do I work with clients? How do I work these contracts? I'm like, get rid of all that. Mm-hmm. That's the easy part.
You're focusing on the end result, not the process.
Yes, build yourself as a person, because people will naturally be attracted to you like a magnet, because they see you and they see you show up every day. And you're a freaking hustler because you work on yourself and you're consistent every day. Why wouldn't they want to work with somebody like
that? That's true power, and other people are trying to force things to happen, right?
Yes.
When the true power is just, again, operating at your full potential, attracting the right things into your life, because it's just what it is. When somebody operates at their full potential, everybody wants to be around that individual.
Yeah.
Flat out.
Yes.
Right? And other people, they're trying to force themselves to get rich, because when they get rich, then they'll be worthy, they'll be valuable, and then people will want to be around them. Yes. Right? Yes. When they really just need to swap the two.
Because I have money, right?
Yeah.
But the thing about it too is it compounds. Like, one compounds, one doesn't, right? When you focus on the one dimensional, you gotta it's a 1-to-1 ratio.
Yeah.
Like, you gotta make your cold calls every day. You're not making relationships with those people. You're getting better as a sales guy. But again, it's one dimensional. You're getting better in real estate.
Yeah.
When you focus on the whole, as you as a person, getting better, a better businessman before you've developed the business plan, then it compounds over time.
Yeah.
Now you can influence more people in more ways throughout your whole life.
Yeah. So spot on. I had to go through all that shit to learn it. You know what I mean? I didn't have a podcast. Yeah. I didn't have the conversation with guys like you to realize that.
Yeah.
Like, I did start just for transactional. you know, and then when you start building teams for the wrong reasons to get rich, you know, like you hit points where you're like, fuck, I gotta reassess, reevaluate,
and reengage.
Like,
right?
I got, this is soulless. This is unhappy. You know what I mean? Like, I've been through that. And so there's a lot of people that they start for those reasons because they're like, man, I want to build financial freedom for me, my family, whatever. And then they start building a team around them. They're like, dude, these people are relying on me. These people, like, they need me to be better. They're looking up to me to tell them what to do. You know what I mean? So
yeah, when you get messages and stuff from your team, like, hey, thank you so much. I've grown so much. You know, whatever. I mean, even Kaysen, that I don't know if you read the DM that he sent us, right? Like, dude, I'm so grateful for you guys. You guys have been the best mentors to me. Like, I couldn't imagine my life being where it is without you guys type situation, right? And it's just little messages like that reaffirm that we're on the right path and we're doing the right thing because we're actually investing into our people to grow them as individuals, not just grow them financially, right?
Yeah, and I guess also what I'm trying to say, though, is that if you've started, you're listening to this, and you've started, not necessarily for the wrong reasons, because trying to go out and make a lot of money for your family and yourself is not, like, a wrong reason, but if you're finding yourself, like, damn, dude, like, I do need to be better. I do need to build me up as a better man for the business, right? It's like, you're hearing things like this to make those type of shifts without having to go completely into the darkness to actually figure it out. You know what I mean? So starting for the wrong reasons isn't necessarily a bad thing,
right,
as long
one.
As it leads to, all right, man, like, I got to be better for me and my team. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we wish you all the success in the world so that you can be hollow as hell and reassess and then start building the individual.
Just start. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Just get started. You get there, but hopefully it leads to
most people. Hopefully they do. Right. Yeah, but exactly. I think everybody starts that way.
Yeah.
I mean, 95% at least. Yeah. Right.
I think so.
Well, when you're broke and trying to make your way into the world, you're not like, I should really develop myself and fill up my soul.
Yeah.
Well, let's be honest. You look at your bank account and there's like 12 cents in there.
A lot of people who do that though, they go broke.
Yeah.
Because they just give away. They don't know how to manage money because they're just such givers.
Yeah.
So it's almost better when you start with that mindset and you learn how to make money and learn how to balance it.
Yeah.
Well, when we're young, if you're not married, you said for the right reason, your family and all that, but there's plenty of people that are young and don't have families yet, but they want to go to the club. They want the bottle to be popped. It's at 25, you know, so that it looks cool for the gram. They want to flex in their shiny car, or whatever it is. Those are some of the wrong reasons, right? But if you get started for those wrong reasons and you get going, hopefully, again, you'll assess and make those proper adjustments because, you know, I know I just wanted to ball out when I was a kid, when I was young, 19, 20 years old. I wanted to just
We didn't have the gram, dude.
Yeah, we didn't have the gram, but we did want to ball out, right? Yeah. Like,
it was still about proving people
wrong. Yeah.
It was still about, like, I'm going to show you. Like, I'm out here freaking living the high life, right? Which really wasn't the high life.
Yeah, we thought it was high. Like, you were like 60 grand a year. We're like, dude, we made it, you know, at 20 years old or something like that.
Yeah.
I make as much as adults. And it's like, well, I guess I'm over 18. I guess I am an adult. Didn't really think of it like that, right? Because we always see ourselves as kids, right? And until we get to a certain age and we're like, damn. We're getting old. We're not a kid no more. We got to take some stuff seriously. Right?
I did want to dive into that though, because dude, I can tell you're building a great team, dude. Like, people approached us after we talked to your group. Some of them were your business partners, and they were like, "Dude, whatever. Like, we just want to jump on the team with Eric, man. Like, what he says we're doing, we're freaking doing. Like, we trust him." And so, like, I'm just impressed with what you're doing, man. Like, you're a great leader. You obviously found your purpose in that a lot sooner than some people do, probably a lot sooner than I did. So I wanted you to talk on that and kind of, like, share with the audience of, like, how important it is to, like you said, build yourself up to build an amazing team and become that magnet, right? But
well, I think what you said too, I think it really hit, and I want to comment on this, kind of bring it out a little bit more maybe, is you said, like, when I'm around my team, it makes me feel like, I need to get better. Yeah. Like, you want to get better, like, just start a team of any kind.
Yeah.
Because it will naturally do it. You're either, because you just don't want to crash and burn.
Yeah.
I think most entrepreneurs are very competitive, very driven, right?
Yeah.
And so it's like, when you just start to build the team, and like you said, and you mentioned too, like, when you know that you got to feed these people and their families, like, I better freaking show up, right?
Yeah.
And that pushes you. It's very uncomfortable.
Well, the cool thing is eventually you get to the point where if you know your team's eating well, by default, you are too.
Right.
So, again, if you just focus on you, cool, whatever. But if you focus on the right things, you will be taken care of even at a greater level, right? So You got to pour into those individuals. And as you're developing them and their income's increasing by default, you're just winning, right? Yeah. You just got to be focusing on the right things. If you're only focused on yourself and winning, then like we said, it feels a little more hollow, right?
Yeah, dude, so. I totally agree with that. Like that's the result, not like the purpose that you're going into, right? Like if you focus on people and how can I help you, all the other stuff's going to come, the money, that your growth, all that stuff. But if you focus on them, like Zig Ziglar, you can have anything in this world that you want if you help enough other people get there. Yeah. I freaking love it. It's the same thing, right?
It's true.
Now we're building a national course that we're going to go and network with agents all over the country and Canada, where we're going to build a 12-week course, and we're going to have lots of tools and value adds to these agents all over the country and say, hey, look, Real is a national brokerage, Real Brokers, who I'm with, Real is a national brokerage. If you're interested in being like next level and you really want to work hard and you don't want to be a statistic, because in your first 5 years of real estate, you have an 87% chance of failing.
Yeah.
Like that's huge.
Is it failing or 87% like stopping, chance
quitting,
of quitting?
Done.
Right. Quitting. Yeah. You know, they thought it was going to be easier than it was. That's a good point. So it's,
they quit.
Yeah. They quit because they went into it probably for the wrong reasons. Right. They thought like anybody could sell a house.
13% make it in the first 5 years.
Yeah.
It's not a lot.
Yeah.
So we teach people, we teach agents that our avatar is the first 5 years. If you're in the first 5 years of real estate, like we need to talk, because we have things basically like, these are the things that you need to do
to develop
consistently in the first 5 years of real estate to win.
Yeah.
And to be the 13%.
If they're already at a different brokerage, say a real estate agent's at a different brokerage, they can still be a part of the real brokerage, right?
It's
but explain that a little bit, like how that.
So Real is a national brokerage and they do things different. I freaking love it because now you take the brick and mortar out of it. And so they save a lot of costs that way compared to like a Keller Williams or, you know, an ERA or whoever, right? And so a Coldwell. So now instead what they do is they have something called RevShare. It's a lot like EXP. So you have people, now you can recruit agents from across the country, but when they make a commission, you make something when you recruit, but it doesn't come out of their paycheck. Because the brokerage is saving money on their brick and mortar, they say, hey, out of your normal fees that you got to pay the brokerage anywhere in any brokerage, we're going to give you a small percentage of that for recruiting these people as a thank you. So now you're an owner almost in the company. But for me, profit I'm just
sharing.
Like profit sharing. Yeah. It's rev share is what they call it. And they give you stock options. Like they just gave me $16,000 in stock this year because I hit a certain level.
Yeah.
So I made more in the stock options than I did like in what I paid. Like I think I paid 12 grand for the year in my brokerage fees.
Yeah.
But they paid me 16 grand in stock. And it's like $1.50 a share right now. So even if it goes to $3, like I freaking doubled it.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah.
So there's some cool things that way, but our model is all designed around the same thing that we're already doing.
Yeah.
Like just add value to people. Like group calls, coaching, templates, forms. Like these are the things that you need to do. How do you get leads?
Yeah.
We'll help you.
Yeah. Do they provide that or is that just something that you're doing?
No, that's what we're building
on top of, you know, that platform or that company.
That's what we're building on top of through the platform where we can now reach, because real estate agent, let's be honest, like you're confined to your geographical area. As much as you want to say that you're not, you are. Like you don't know the street. I don't know the streets in Alabama. I don't know the neighborhoods. I don't know the soil. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I could go and get my license there, but I'm not going to be like really good.
Yeah.
So now you can network with the agents.
Yeah.
Now you can network with agents and get better. Again, you're growing a team. I'm going to get better through it. Everybody else hopefully will get better through it. And that's why we're doing it. It's the same. How do I build better men and better women at a bigger scale?
Yeah.
This is how.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
That's cool. Hopefully there's some real estate agents in that, they're in your demographic dude, you know, hit you up, but teach them a little bit about the bar, bro. Like I know you did that
at
the talk the other day. I thought it was pretty cool. You know, if you want to talk on that a little bit.
For sure. Like the bar. So like raise the bar. It's like, well, what I say.
When we would talk about the bar, it was a little bit different back in the day, dude. So your bar at your age was different than the bar at our age.
What was yours?
Ours was
Surfers on Acid and
what is it?
Just Stumblers.
I mean, it was mainly Long Islands for me.
Long Islands.
And then I would take a lot of shots too, you know, just it's a little bit different. He's like, what bar?
It's a different,
like,
different one.
It's a bar.
I mean, we have two bars here in St. George.
The one that you wouldn't know about because you've never been in it.
Right.
Bro, you know, which is good.
About this the other day.
Yeah, exactly. So it's two totally different bars. So Don't turn off the podcast yet. He's not talking about going to get some drinks. He's
mm-hmm. Yeah. So BAR, it's an acronym, right? So it's basically like how are you going to show up in every aspect? It literally applies to everything, whether it's your faith or your marriage or your business, whatever. And so B stands for belief. Mm-hmm. And your belief then will lead to, based on your belief, it will influence, your beliefs influence your action. So A is action. Mm-hmm. And R is result. So if you think about it, I like to think about it actually as more of a, it's like a tornado, like a spiral, like that goes up and it goes down. Like I on the slide that we did when we went and presented to that group, it was like a circle. You can look at it that way. I almost like to look at it as like a funnel that kind of funnels up and funnels down, gets bigger at the top, more abundant at the top. So there's positive ways to look at your beliefs and your attitude on just a situation, or there's negative ones.
Right.
So as real estate agents, I say to them all the time, if you get a call and you hear from the seller, hey, we'd love for you to come present on this $1 million home that we own, and we're going to talk to 5 other real estate agents, and they tell you who they are, and you know that there's some pretty tough agents that you're going up against, and your belief, if your belief is, I'm not going to get this listing, that belief will now influence your action. So you're not going to show up. You're not going to come prepared.
Not your highest self anyways, yeah.
Right. You're not going to be your best.
Yeah.
Because you believe.
You've already wrote it off.
You've wrote it off.
Yeah.
And now the universe, you're just attracting that to your life, right? So then your actions, you don't show up, that will influence the result. You're not going to get the listing, okay? That you're freaking lucky it's your aunt. She decided to interview 4 other people just because.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got a large family and they're all in a general area, then sure, go into the biz.
Yeah. So that influences the result. But then the interesting part, the most interesting part is the Pygmalion effect. And that's where, like, now this further cements your belief.
Yeah.
So because you didn't get it, now it further cements that belief in your mind that you're right.
Yeah.
You weren't good enough. And so the next time that comes around, what's going to happen? Like neurons that fire together, right? Yep. Like you're just in this constant loop in your mind that like, I'm not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
But all that needs to change is your belief.
Yeah.
And you need to take the time, which most people don't do, to start that new belief, to rewire a new loop in your brain that I'm freaking good enough.
Yeah.
That I'm freaking good at what I do. And that will then influence the action. You're going to take action. You're going to work your butt off.
Yeah.
Which will influence the result and then cement a new belief that you can start pulling from your programming that's going to help you win.
Yeah.
So that's what BAR is to me. It's just like you can literally copy and paste that in every aspect of your life. And if we work on that, you'll just start to win more and more.
Well, I like it because it pushes you to up your level of belief if that's what you live by, right? Like you've created this acronym, or did you learn it from somewhere, or did you create it, right?
Oh, yeah. Everything's stolen.
Yeah. Okay.
There's nothing original. Because
sometimes I think I create shit and I'm like,
yeah.
You know?
Sometimes I think I create stuff and I'm like, I think I heard it somewhere.
I know for a fact I did create one thing that somebody else took from me. Smelly wallpaper.
Oh, yeah.
Seventh grade, bro. I had an idea for smelly wallpaper because I hated casinos, dude. I hated the smell of smoke. I'm like, man, they need smelly wallpaper in here, you know? And I did a project on it.
I thought it was because you watched Willy Wonka. And you saw
No, that's the licking one, bro. That's a flavor. You know, maybe subconsciously, that's kind of, dude, maybe I wasn't original. Holy dude, don't do that to me. Let me have this one.
I just totally busted your belief.
No, we were building out this office when we were picking out all the designs and everything. We were at like a design place and I was like, they have smelly wallpaper in here, dude, for like hotels and stuff like that. And I was like, dude, I could have got rich, bro, but here I am.
That was literally a school project. And he found out later.
Yeah.
It happened.
It came to fruition. Crazy. You know? So that was one original.
I do like that though. Like that you've created that or you learned that and it's just helped you up your level of belief, man. Because like how many times have you done something in life where you're like, just like you're saying, like going up against the listing, like, well, maybe I can get it. Like, that's better than like, I'm probably not going to get it. Right. But if you're like, maybe I have a chance, you're probably going to up your game a little bit. But if you're like, dude, no, I'm going to freaking own this. I'm going to get this freaking listing. Like, it is going to push you to take more action to get that result. Right. Yeah. And so I like that because there's levels of belief, right? There's levels of belief, man. And so if you live by that mantra of like, I can control this level of belief. You are going to take more action.
Well, I honestly, I mean, I think that, you know, the belief portion of it comes from the history of the past, right? Like, you know, our own personal bias of what we've done in the past. If you're working your ass off and you're doing everything that you possibly can to exhaust all options to become the best version of yourself, the belief then increases. Now, the fact that you said, hey, these four other people that might, the reason why they're intimidating is maybe they have 10 more years in the game than you have, or they've done way more work than you because they sell way more than you, or whatever it is. So you're putting your current bias of the work that you've done up against the work that they've done. Right. As long as you're doing everything that you can to, again, exhaust all options and work hard. And that's what your brain knows about you. Like, I show up, I work hard. I'm not scared to go against anybody because they're not there. There's no possible way that they're outworking me. Your belief, therefore, will increase. And so you can't just sit on your ass and not do anything and just say, I believe, I believe, I believe.
Right.
You actually have to, you know, create a record of the past that you are a badass, and then your belief will also continue to increase, right? Like, I'm a big believer in that.
So,
right?
So exactly what you're just saying is the precursor. And the way that I put it is, it's not so much about the commitments that you're keeping to other people, it's the commitments that you make to yourself.
Mm-hmm,
are you keeping those commitments?
Yes.
Because that's where confidence comes from.
Right.
If you make commitments to yourself that I'm going to work out in the morning, that's the best thing about working out. We all know that.
Yeah.
It's more of
a mental thing than it is a physical thing, because your mind has the right, like, I show up every day because I said I would, right?
Which how you do one thing is how you do everything, mm-hmm. or it can be, right? And so it's the same thing. If you keep those commitments in your fitness, in your nutrition, which can be even harder, it's a step up in my mind. And you're saying no to food that's addicting, that you want so bad, it's 8 o'clock at night, you want that ice cream? That was me.
Yeah.
Right? But you can say no to that. And you kept that commitment. You set a goal and you're like, I'm not freaking eating it.
I'd rather work out 2 times in a day and eat dairy.
And eat it. Yeah, yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
But you get what I'm saying? You're keeping the commitment that's really hard.
Yeah.
And now it just starts bleed into everything that you do in life. And then it's like, now you can really believe and change those belief systems. Like, no, I'm freaking worth it.
Yeah. The whole how you do one thing is how you do everything. I struggle with that a little bit. I believe that how you do one thing that you say is a priority is how you do everything that you say is a priority, right? Like, if I'm going to bake a cake, you know, I might not be as good at baking a cake as I am, you know, operating a business or being on a podcast or showing up to the gym. But there's certain things that I hold to high regard, that those are my priorities.
Yes.
And if you say that that's a priority in your life and you're showing up half-ass, anything else that you say is a priority, you will show up half-ass. Am I going to be, I don't do laundry, dude. Like, I'm not going to be the best at doing laundry. That's just not my thing. It's not a priority in my life. Cooking is not a priority in my life. So if I tried to cook, I'm not going to be as great as that as I am showing up for myself at the gym.
Yes.
So I think that there's a caveat to that saying.
I love that.
That it's just... because a priority for me might be different than some, you know, like my wife's priorities might be different than mine, right? And so she'll show up in the areas that are of priority or of high importance to her the same across the board, right? But if it doesn't have meaning to her, but it has meaning to me, like if I want to go out and run, she may half-ass a run, I may not half-ass a run because I enjoy it and that's a priority to me, right? So we'll show up in different ways depending on the level of priority that we place under it.
Yes.
But if you say it's a priority, actually show up, right? Because it has the ability to affect all things that are of importance.
Yeah. Love it.
No, yeah, totally. It's true. I agree with
so,
that.
So let's talk about the comparison thing, because I did like that when you were down in California.
Oh, so, you know, I was actually just thinking that as we were talking. Yeah, yeah. So I was like, man, we could bring back the whole comparison thing with this whole thing, right?
Yeah.
Because like, you know, talking about the fitness.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Comparison is the thief of joy is like a really strong quote we all hear. And there's a lot of truth to it, right? Like, we shouldn't compare ourselves all the time and just feel bad about ourselves not measuring up. But, you know, these guys, we were all talking. They're like, dude, I don't think comparison's that bad. Like, I think you should be able to compare yourself. If Eric is crushing it, man, he looks great. I want to look more like Eric, you know, in the gym and my physique and all that shit, then why wouldn't I compare myself to him? Because if I do compare myself to him a little bit in the fact that, well, this guy's doing it. So why
he's
can't
a man.
I
so a man.
When we do compare ourselves to other people that are at a different level than us, that person has already given us permission to believe in us going after that, right? Like that's what this whole, that's what men do.
Yeah.
Like men compare ourselves to men, women compare themselves to women. But if it's in an inspiring way, like, hey man, like if one man can do it, another one can do it, then
haven't
I'm
we all
freaking
been,
go
haven't,
for it.
Haven't we
right?
all in this room been inspired by watching somebody 100%. Else do something that is great?
Oh, 1,000 people.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
so like if some dude owns a freaking jet that I want to own, you know, and it's like, oh man, like I'm just I'm so obsessed with it, but I'm not taking any action. Yeah. Right. Then what the hell, dude? Like I am going to feel shitty about myself.
Yeah.
Well, but if some dude owns a jet that I want to own and I see like, dude, his life is like magnificently better because of that jet. And he's almost given me permission to go after it because if he can do it, I can do it too.
Yeah,
that's what men do, bro. Yeah, like, we look at other men like, dude, if he can do it,
if he can do it, I can do it. Yeah. I feel that way all the time. Yeah. He's like, if they can do it, why can't I do it? Like they bleed the same as me. They put their shoes on the same way. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, maybe it took him 10 years, but I can work for 10.
They got boogers, bro. They burp and fart too.
Yeah.
You know, they're human. You know, we're all just human, flat out. Like, just like what we talked about. Like, if I see, like earlier, David Goggins, Cameron, these guys that are running incredible distance, putting their bodies. The only reason why I have a belief I can do that is because I've watched another human being do something that I thought would be impossible to do. But I'm like, if you're willing to do the work, it's inspirational. If you're not willing to do the work, you're going to despise these people, right? Yeah. And that's why they say don't compare. Because, I mean, let's be real. The majority of the people aren't willing to do the work. And when you watch somebody ascend to high levels and doing amazing things, it makes you feel like shit about yourself if you're not willing to actually show up and do the work. If you say that person's human, I'm human, they have extreme discipline. They just show up every day. So you're telling me if I just show up every day over a long extended period of time, I can have what they have or do what they do? And the answer is yes, absolutely. So utilize it as inspiration. But the only way that's going to happen is if you actually back it up with action, right? Yeah. I believe I can do what those guys do. Yeah. So my actions show that and my results are coming. You see what I'm saying? And so that goes back to the bar thing. They gave me the belief that it's possible because me sitting before that, if I didn't see them do that, I would not be doing what I'm doing right now in terms of my running because I wouldn't believe it was possible for me, period.
Yeah.
And so we can compare ourselves to people as long as you're willing to do the work. Let it inspire you.
Right.
Let them show you what's possible with discipline and work. And as long as you have discipline and you're willing to work, that could be you too.
Well, I like what you said too before we started when we're talking about comparison. You're like, because there is healthy and unhealthy comparison, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you said, if it's going to be just greed and envy, then that's not healthy. And that's spot on, right? Like Aaron Wags talked to our group earlier this year and he was like, what's the opposite of confidence, right? And everybody was like, man, it's probably, you know, what was it? They were like depression or, you know, like we were coming up with these things, right?
Yeah,
and he was
whatever.
Like, dude, the opposite of greed or the opposite of confidence is envy. It's jealousy.
Jealousy, yeah.
Yeah. He's like, bro, that's where it's unhealthy. So if you're like comparing yourself and you're just jealous and you're living in that, like you're never going to gain any confidence.
Yeah.
So let's go back to your analogy of like, bro, I'm competing for their studs for this listing. It's like, it's unhealthy to sit there and compare yourself and be like, I think I'm more experienced than me, man. It's doing exactly what you said that you're going to do. You're not going to show up. You're just going to you're going to throw your name in the hat and hope. And that ain't a great strategy.
But if
you look at these dogs and you're like, dude, I've learned a lot from these guys, but there's some things I can teach these old dogs, man. So like, hey, they've done some great things. I have compared myself to them, but dude, I'm going to show up and I'm going to teach them a few things on how to get one of these deals closed, right? Now you're going to take massive action because you've upped that belief that you talked about, right? Now you're going to take that massive action for the result. Yeah.
Right. Every great person eventually has a belief. They may not start that way.
Well, everybody was there once, even those people that you're competing against.
Right.
I wish people had to start at day one.
Yeah. So they had to win just like in those situations where they were up against four people that they thought were great. Mm-hmm. Eventually they won some of those. Yeah. Therefore, now they're great. Therefore, now you're intimidated by it. As long as you're willing to do the work, you shouldn't be intimidated by it. You should have the perspective that they have been in my shoes. They just did the work. It's okay. We all have to compete against the big dogs on our way up. Everybody.
Yeah. I hope everybody takes this segment and like rewinds like 4 minutes and just like plays this over because it's so freaking good and I totally agree with it. And I want to relate it to my life just for a second and just try to add to what you guys said because it's like beautiful. is when I was young, I always felt like I was dumb, mm-hmm. completely stupid because I was homeschooled and I had nobody to compare myself to know where I was. Mm.
Yeah. That makes
we didn't
sense.
Take a lot of tests. I remember hearing as a kid, and this came from my mom, and she meant it to push me, and I totally get it, and it kind of did.
Yeah.
She would say, your friends did their times tables, and they did it in less than a minute on their eights and their nines. And their, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, but you can't do it that fast. You're like 3 minutes. What did that make you feel? Yeah. Like, as an 8-9-year-old kid, you're like, I'm dumb. I'm two or three times as dumb as they are. But we're just talking about something that they practiced every single day. I practiced maybe once. You know what I mean? Because that's just homeschooling. You don't take a lot of tests. And so you're not able to compare yourself in a healthy way to other people to see where you level up. So then I started getting into college, and I'd gone on my mission. I'd kind of like gotten out in the world. And I started comparing myself again to other people. And I thought, I am going to sit by the smartest person in this class. Every single class I took, I said, who's getting the best grade? Who's the smartest? And I would intentionally sit next to them and develop a relationship with them and say, hey, you want to do study groups together?
Now, ours was the opposite. Yeah. Ours were like, no. Yeah. No, for real. Yeah.
But you get my point.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought I was stupid because of this comparison thing. But then you learn if they could, like we said, that dude can do it. I can freaking do this if I put in the work. Mm. And then I dropped out after my associates.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know that because I believed that I didn't need it. I believed that I could do it out on my own. And that doesn't mean that that's everybody, everybody on this that's listening to this right now could agree. I don't freaking care. It's my path, right?
Yeah.
But my path was, this is a risk, it seems like, because we're taught all our life, like you got to, you know, get your degree, get your piece of paper, and that's what's going to make you money. Bull crap.
Yeah.
Right? But for me, it was like, I'm going to drop out because I have the belief, because I've kept these commitments this far in my life, that I'm going to make it happen, which was followed by action. The results came, and they came pretty quick. Like we netted in our first year dropping out of school, me and my wife, from what we built together, over $100,000. And then my mom started to say, okay, maybe it was okay that you dropped out of school, you know.
Then they follow, right?
Then everybody else will follow. But you got to believe in yourself. Nobody's going to believe in you at first.
Nah, it's true.
Got to go out to no man's land at one point by yourself, and then other people are like, oh,
they'll follow.
Maybe there's not landmines out there. Maybe we'll go. We'll. Now you're not no man's land because everyone wants to surround you and join you.
Right.
You just had to venture out on your own to the scary path that nobody wanted to go down because they were told if you go that way, there's landmines. It's dangerous, in other words, right? And there you are skipping your way into no man's land. And then then other people's, based upon your actions, their belief increased and they wanted to join.
Right. Yeah. Right? And I wasn't stupid either. I was a 398 student. Yeah. I got 1 A-.
Yeah.
They wouldn't change it. Try to fight it. But I was good at school. I just believed that I could. I didn't need it. I believed that I could do something else. So that's what I did.
Love it, dude. My old boss scaled his accounting company to $100 million. You know what I mean? A year. And so I'm like, dude, he's kind of given us permission to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Definitely areas that I'm like, we can do this, man. You know, you do that, a little bit of comparison. I take way more action in trying to get us there, you know, because I'm like, dude, he did it. We can freaking do it.
It's possible. Yeah.
Yeah. I love it, dude. I think it's a great acronym that, you know, people are going to get a lot of value from. I appreciate you sharing it today.
Sure.
Yeah.
How do people get a hold of you, bro, if they want to connect with you? You know,
hit me up on Instagram. That's where I'm at. Probably the gram. Yeah, the gram.
You don't tweet
at eGoobler.
You don't tweet or
at eGoobler
or LinkedIn
at eGoobler.
You know, I don't do anything.
I have LinkedIn. I'm starting the LinkedIn, the TikTok. Media, bro. Yeah, Facebook. I have, but the gram. Just the DM gram. Me on the gram. But
what's your handle?
At eGoobler. eGubler.
You have fake ones yet? You know, people trying to recreate, you know.
If I do. I don't know.
Yeah.
I've seen a couple of
you guys.
Yeah, you'll get there.
You'll get there. All your friends will start hitting you and be like, hey, are you trying to sell me Forex?
Yeah, what's up with this crypto, dude? You got rid of the real estate.
I tell you what, if anybody, you know, because one of the things for me is like, I want to be more intentional with my life. And I like the Eisenhower box. It goes with a couple different, you know, just like a couple different names. But it's basically eliminate the things that are in your life that you don't need. Delegate the things that are important but not urgent. The things that are urgent, do now. Right. Yep. Yep. And then the things that, like, it just kind of goes through, like, your schedule, your day. I have templates that I have that I go through every night before my next day, and I go through like, okay, I'm going to plan out my next day. I want to eliminate the fluff. Like, if this doesn't add up to where I'm trying to go in life,
yeah,
get rid of it, mm-hmm. right? And then I would look at my schedule and go, okay, where am I going? Is this intentional? Is my day intentional? Yeah. Even have like little questions on there. It's like a whole thing that you go through a full page, and then you review it at night and you go, okay, was it really? Like, did I really like stay committed to this? Did I follow my habits? Did I do the things I said I was going to do? And it, was it intentional where I want to go? So I have those, and it's branded in my name. If anybody wants those, just reach out to me.
Yeah.
I'll send them to you.
I want them.
And if that can help, yeah, I'll send one to you.
Yeah.
If it can help anybody on here, just live, build better men, build better women, and help you be more intentional and get to where you want to go. Maybe you want to start a business. I promise this is one of the tools that will help you. So if you want one, shoot me a message on Instagram. Shoot me a DM.
Could you imagine a coach of a team not showing up with a game plan? Just randomly showing up and just playing the game.
Like Little League Baseball.
And off. Yeah, that's what it would be. You would stay in the Little Leagues too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The big dogs, they have plans, right? NFL shows up with a different playbook for every team based upon who's on the other team. You know, they could have thousands of plays, but for that week, this is what we're going to practice and this is what we're going to execute on. It gives them something to focus on and gives them a higher probability of success, right?
Yep.
So, guys, we know you enjoyed today's episode. I don't even say, I don't have to say, I hope you enjoyed. No, I don't have to hope. Like, I already know you guys did. Make sure that you utilize this resource. He's a gem. He's a good dude. Mm-hmm. You know, in 5 or 10 years, we probably won't even be able to get a hold of him. So, get a hold of him while you still can. Yeah. And I have to call you guys out. The reviews are, you know, slowly dwindling. I mean, I literally think we've got like 2 last month. That's just terrible. Come on, guys. We're sitting here pouring our hearts and minds out to you. And we got 2 reviews. If you will.
I'll leave you one.
Yeah, yeah, please.
There we go. On this episode.
Yeah, on this one. That episode where Eric was fire. Eric. But for real, make sure you show some love in the review section of iTunes. You know, it does mean a lot to us, and it helps us move up the ranks. So other than that, guys, keep kicking ass. Take care. We'll see you next week.
Peace. Sweet.